Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everybody here today. We're continuing in the book of Malachi, and we're going to finish it out today, read in chapter 4. Well, the title of the message today is The Great Day of the Lord from Malachi chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 6. This will close us out in the book of Malachi. And Malachi has been a very kind of interesting back and forth as God is trying to draw His people to Himself and help them to see that He is perfect and He is faithful and He is unchangeable. And they have moved. You know, you heard the old story about the older couple that was riding down the road in the pickup, and they looked over there and they saw this young couple, and you couldn't even get a piece of paper between them. And the wife said to the husband, "You know, we used to sit like that." And the husband said, "You know, I haven't moved." So anyway, it's not quite as funny as I thought it might be, but anyway. Anyway, so it's probably an old joke all of you have heard before, but anyway. Anyway, we'll go to Malachi now. Malachi chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But you who fear my name, the Son of righteousness shall come, shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. On that day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading and the proclamation of His word. When the Allies defeated the Axis and fascist powers of Nazism at the end of World War II, and World War II came to an end in Europe and Asia, there was a tremendous feeling of relief in most of the world. The end of World War II brought to close the evil of the Nazis in Europe and the evils of the totalitarian militaristic fascist regime that was ruling Japan. These evil and these deadly philosophies and ideas caused the war were dehumanizing, deadly, and destructive. They resulted in the loss of between 50 and 85 million people, both militarily and more, I think, among the persecuted minorities of Europe and Asia. So at the end of the war, most people celebrated. However, not everybody did. Those leaders in power in those evil regimes did not celebrate. And some of those nations that were defeated by the Allied powers they didn't celebrate either, because the leaders that who had brought this war on them in these nations that perpetuated these destructive philosophies were almost completely destroyed. And there was massive and almost complete destruction. Now, the Bible talks about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is a day of wonder and fulfillment for the people of God. But it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. For the wicked, it will not be a good day at all. And for those who have not believed and trusted in Christ, it will not be a good day at all. And so as we look forward to it, we need to understand its comprehensiveness and what it will be all about. Now, Malachi had been dealing with some of the people who were complaining because they thought God was not doing enough about the evil in the world. And it looked like evil was winning. They were actually discouraging people from choosing what was good and right and for living for God and choosing His ways. And chapter 4 of Malachi brings with it God's powerful answer about whether evil will win or lose in the end. And his powerful answer to them reminds us of something that is true for all of us and for all time, that Jesus returning will ultimately destroy all evil and bring an eternal reign of righteousness. Jesus returning will ultimately destroy all evil and bring an eternal reign of righteousness. If you could get that for me, Ben. Don't lose hope. Don't forget that evil, sorrow, death will be ended, and goodness and righteousness and justice will be forever established. There's some truths I think we need to see as we look through this passage, just simple things that we look at this passage in the last book of the Old Testament in Malachi. And the first one is this: knowing Jesus will return brings sorrow to the unprepared and joy unspeakable to the prepared. Knowing Jesus will return brings sorrow to the unprepared and joy unspeakable to the prepared. Now Malachi tells us, behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Behold, the day is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. Now you may think it's never going to get here, that evil will continue to win, that wrongs will never be righted, but you're wrong. The day of the Lord, the day when God intervenes to bring an eternal reign of justice, is coming. It is coming. You might think we have to live forever with students being murdered in schools, or women and children and sometimes men being abused and misused. You might think we have to live forever with prejudices and bigotry all around, with the wicked rich oppressing the helpless poor and downtrodden and all the kinds of evils. But I'm telling you, no. The day of the Lord is coming. It is coming. But that day of the Lord is not going to be good for some. The scripture clearly teaches. It tells us it is burning like an oven. And you know, the thing about a heat in the oven is hotter than other kinds of heat. Focused heat is stronger than dispersed heat, right? And it says it's burning like an oven when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. The day will be coming, will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts. It will neither leave leaven nor root or branch. Now that's a pretty graphic description, isn't it? It's not going to leave anything, not leaven nor root. It's going to burn the stubble. And there's not really more kind of a horrifying description of evildoers that you might find in the scripture. You see, if the wicked refuse the rule of God in their life, if they refuse the salvation that God freely offers, it's the day of the Lord is not good news. It's not good news. But for those who are prepared and for those who fear the name of the Lord, it says the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing on its wings. Now, most of the ancient and many modern commentators believe this is a reference to Jesus as is coming as the righteousness, to Jesus' coming to rule and reign forever. And it says he rises with healing, with the healing forgiveness for those who will believe in him. He rises with that. He provides that. That is yours if you will believe. He provides his very own righteousness to us to make us right with God. Those who fear him, those who believe in him and are ready when he comes to do away with evil, it's going to be a super day for them. They're going to be like calves released from the stall that have been confined, and they can't be themselves or express joy. They're going to be like calves who've been let out of the stall. They're going to be free never to be oppressed by the wicked again. There's coming a day when the wicked will no longer be able to oppress anyone, the scripture says. There's going to be a dancing party that day, the scripture says. And look what else it says. You'll tread down the wicked. They shall be asses under the soles of your feet on that day when I act, says the Lord. Now in chapter 3, Malachi, the people were saying, it doesn't pay to serve the Lord. And God says, well, yes, it does pay to serve the Lord. The wicked are not going to win or rule, but those who fear God and believe in Jesus will trample down the wicked, and they will be like ashes under the soles of their feet on that day. The wicked who persecuted God's people and sought to destroy them will be absolutely destroyed, and God's people will serve God and reign with Him forever. They will reign with Him forever. See, don't ever think evil's going to win, because it's not going to win. God is going to right every wrong. God is going to do away with all oppression and wickedness and evil and sin. And God is going to destroy those who will not repent of their wickedness and will not believe and receive the gift of salvation that He offers. It doesn't matter if the wicked seem to be winning today. They're not winning in the end. John Stott told a story about the first missionary to Vanuatu, then called New Hebrides, I don't know how to pronounce it exactly. And when he was facing death, he said to his attackers, "If you kill me, God will judge you. God will judge you." You see, if you follow the Lord, no matter how difficult it might be right now, you are going to be an eternal victor. And those who refuse the rule of God in their lives, those who refuse the salvation that He freely gives, it will not be good. They will be trampled under feet, as the Scripture says. So knowing that Jesus will return brings sorrow to the unprepared and joy unspeakable to the prepared. But there's another truth we find in this passage of Scripture, and that's this. Knowing Jesus will return drives us to seek and know and love God and read His Word. Knowing Jesus will return drives us to seek to know and love God and read His Word. Now Malachi, God says through the prophet, through Malachi's prophet, "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel." God says, remember the old covenant. They were under the old covenant, and God had told them they would be blessed if they did it, and if they didn't do it, that would be bad for them. And God said to them, remember my covenant, remember the law, remember my word to you. If you remember what God's word tells you and believe it, you're going to be blessed. It's pretty simple. The person who hears the words, who hears God's word and acts upon Him and believes on them, are going to be blessed. Look what you remember what Jesus said about His word as He was closing out the Sermon on the Mount? He said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because its foundations were on the rock of His word, the rock of believing and doing what He said." But then He says in verse 26 of Matthew 7, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rains came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Malachi is basically saying, and really all the Word of God says, to remember God's Word and do it. Remember God's Word and believe it. Now you can say, "I believe it," but if you don't put it into practice, do you really believe it, right? If you don't do what it says, do you really believe it? You see, if you believe in Jesus, it's going to change your life, right? He's going to make a difference. You're going to want to do the things that He says. And so basically all Scripture says, believe God and do what He says, or don't believe it and it's going to be bad for you. And so He says, remember the Word. Remember the Word. Malachi is basically saying, remember God's Word and do it. To know and to seek and love God and His truth, you have to be in His Word, the Bible. His truth. Remember His Word. If you want to know, love, and serve God, you have to be a person who's in the Bible, in His Word. You see, the Bible reveals all that God is about. It reveals the salvation that He will give to you if you will simply believe and receive Jesus. The Bible helps us to understand ourselves, that we are sinners, and the world. People say, "Well, why is the world like it is?" Well, if you read the Bible, you can know those things. God created a perfect world, and men sinned and rebelled against Him and decided to go our own way. And because of sin, because of the presence that we allowed into our world is messed up, and it will be messed up till God does away with sin. The Bible helps us understand ourselves and our world. The Bible points us to the only one who can save, Jesus. So we need to be in the Bible. It needs to be part of our lives every single day. Now, one of the single most important things that indicate whether a person is growing in his faith is simple. Does that person spend time every day reading the Bible? If you spend time in God's Word daily, in the Bible daily, you're almost without fail growing in your trust and confidence in God. If you spend time in God's Word daily, you're probably going to love people, and that's going to be growing in your life too. If you spend time in God's Word daily, then you're probably seeking to witness to others about God's love and grace in your life and how He has saved you from your sin. If you spend time in God's Word daily, you're probably loving your wives or husbands more, and you're probably being less self-centered. If you spend time in God's Word daily, you probably care about the poor and care about those who are being oppressed. If you spend time in God's Word daily, you want to see injustices done away with and justice done on earth and the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven. If you spend time in God's Word daily, you're probably deeply involved with God's people in loving them, being a part of that fellowship with them week by week, and you want them to carry out the mission of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth if you spend time in God's Word every day. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that the only thing you do is read the Bible. I am saying that spending some time daily reading the Bible is a part of the lives of growing believers. And if you can spend time daily in the Word, you're probably going to grow. And when you find yourself not doing that, you probably aren't growing. You can't spend as much time as me as your pastor. I understand that. One of the great privileges of being a pastor is that I can spend much time reading and studying the Word of God. That's a great privilege, and I thank God for that privilege. And I know you can't do what I do, and I don't expect you to do what I do. But do you try to spend some time every day reading God's Word? Is there some time you say, I've tried, I've got started, and I've quit, and I've tried, and I got started. Just keep trying. And sometimes it's like exercise, right? I ride my bike during the good times. My ride usually is about 20 miles. And I'm not bragging, but I want to tell you, when I first started, I couldn't ride 5 miles. I thought I was going to die. I had to start slow. And people, when they start exercise programs, one of the things they always do wrong is they try to go too fast. You see, it's better if you just kind of build up. And you see, if you're saying, I try to get in the Bible and I'm not in it, start somewhere. Read a chapter. You know how long it takes to read one chapter of the Bible of the New Testament? Start in the New Testament. Start in Matthew. It won't take you 5 to 10 minutes at the most. Every one of us can do that. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. If you do, you're almost certainly going to grow in your faith, and you're going to look more like Jesus. Now, if you don't hear anything else I say today, please hear this. If you want to love, know, and serve God better, spend time reading the Bible. It's as simple as that. And if you need help getting started, there's a lot of people who it's a practice of their life every day. And we can help you know how to get started. Spend time in God's Word. Spend time in God's Word. I know next Sunday you might not remember anything I said today. In fact, I might not remember it by Tuesday, actually. But I'm telling you, if you'll feed yourself on the Word of God, you will grow. You will grow. There's one more truth I want you to see in this passage of Scripture, and that is this. Knowing Jesus will return moves God's heart to prepare people for His coming. Now, God closes His word through Malachi with these words, "Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with the decree of utter destruction. Now that's a very interesting word, that word utter destruction. Some translations say curse, but it's a very difficult word because it actually describes God's command to the people when they went into the promised land to totally wipe out people. So God tells us that will ultimately, what happened? He will totally wipe out everything that is evil and wrong and rebelling against him and his authority. Ultimately, he's going to wipe that out. But he says, I'm sending before that day my great prophet to prepare you for that day. Now, as we've looked at Malachi, we've understood that before Christ was born, God sent an Elijah to call people to repentance. And it's very clear in the Gospels that this Elijah who was calling people to repentance was John the Baptist, to getting them ready for the first coming of Jesus. He was calling people to turn away from their sin, their selfishness, their evil, and return to God's truth and God's way. He was getting the people ready for the first coming of Jesus. He wanted them to turn them back to the faith of their fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he did this to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus. But I want you to know today he's preparing people for his ultimate second coming when he will completely do away with evil. God's using his servants, his people, you and I, to call people to repent and believe in Jesus. You see, God will do away with evil, but do you understand? God wants to save evildoers. He wants to forgive their sins. He wants them to be ready so they will not be a part of that utter destruction of evil and wickedness. And there's only one way to get ready, and that's through Jesus. You see, the curse that we deserved, Jesus took when he went to the cross and died in our place. God's wrath was poured out on his own son so that if we will believe in him, it would not have to be poured out on us. And so God sends his people into the world, the church, you and I, to call people to repent and believe in Jesus. Yes, God will do away with evil, but God wants to save evildoers from the consequence of their sin. God delays doing away with evil to give people a chance to repent and believe in Jesus. Everybody says, why doesn't God do something about all the evil? Why does he allow it to happen? I'm telling you, he will, but if you're not ready, it's not going to be good news for you. It's not going to be good news for the world that calls on a God of justice because there's so much injustice in all of us, and if that injustice is not forgiven in Jesus Christ, we cannot stand before a holy God in his presence. And so he calls people to believe in Jesus and be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. God delays his righting every wrong because he's not willing for any to perish, but all to come repentance. We hear the heart of God in sending this Elijah and sending you and I to tell others to believe in Jesus. See the heart of God. See the heart of God. Yes, God is the judge, but I want you to see something else. He's also the Savior. He himself will save you from your sins. He did everything he could so that you might be forgiven and justified in his sight. The God who is the judge is the God who is the Savior, and he wants you to be saved. He wants people to be saved. Ezekiel 18, 31 and 32 reminds us of God's heart. God said to the people back in Ezekiel's day, rid yourself of all your offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. God will give that to you. And then he asked the question, God is asking this question, why will you die, O house of Israel? I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. Do you hear that? You know, if we're talking about a serious subject today, the judgment of God, but I'm telling you, if it doesn't break our heart, then we don't have the heart of God in it. If we don't want people to be saved, if we don't want people to be forgiven and know our Savior, if we just want God to get rid of all those wicked people out there, we do not have the heart of God. Because God is not willing that any should perish. But all should come to repentance. Why will you die? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, the Lord says. Yeah, we want to see the rule of righteousness and justice. But see the heart of God that's repairing the world, that's sending us. Yes, it is you and I. To the world to tell those who need Jesus about Him. The one who died for us. The one who died for you. You know, if you are somehow never trusted in Him, I just pray that you would trust in Jesus today. And if you say, well, Pastor Bob, you know, I'm not convinced of everything you're saying is true, and that's okay, you know, but I would say this to you. If you're not convinced, would you please investigate the claims of Christ? See if they're true or not. You see, if what I'm saying is true, the least you can do is really look into it and see. You see, all of us need our sins forgiven. And I think the Scripture teaches that forgiveness only comes through Jesus. And I think the Scripture teaches that Jesus, that God wants to forgive you. He's a searching God. He's a looking God. He's searching for you that you might believe and be saved. That's the heart of God. And that should be our heart too. Knowing Jesus will return brings sorrow to the unprepared and joy unspeakable to the prepared. Knowing Jesus returns should drive us to seek to know, love, and love God more and be in His Word. And knowing Jesus will return moves God's heart to prepare people for His coming. Yes, Jesus returning will ultimately destroy all evil and bring an eternal reign of righteousness. Are you helping people to be ready for that day? Are you ready for that day? Father, we love You and we thank You, Lord, that You loved us. And even though we rebelled against You and we wandered from You and we hid from You, You searched for us and somehow You enabled us who believe to believe and to have our sins forgiven. And Father, I believe that that You are doing that, Lord, for anyone here that has not yet cried out to You to be saved. You are searching for them. You love them. You want them to be Your own. You are wooing them to Yourself. And Father, I believe that the people we come into contact with day by day are people whom You want to save, whom You want to deliver, whom You want to forgive. And just as You are searching for them, Father, empower us by Your Holy Spirit. Fill us with the compassion of Christ that we may be on mission, that we might be searching to tell them the good news of the forgiveness of God that's available to them. We love You, Lord, and we want to love You more. May we be on mission with You day by day. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.